So obviously, neratinib is out there in the sort of post-adjuvant space, so to speak. And with all these changes going on, I'm kind of curious how it's effective at all, the way you approach that decision. In the adjuvant setting, what we've heard from investigators is they think about it for higher-risk patients, node-positive, ER-positive. A lot of people will think about it or maybe present it. I don't know exactly what people think about it. I'm curious what you think in terms of post-neoadjuvant. I have heard people say for higher-risk patients that even though maybe we don't have the data exactly that they would do it. Right now, what's your approach to using neratinib?
Yeah, so I mean, I think we're all struggling with how to incorporate all of these new data, particularly Catherine, into our treatment paradigm. And using neratinib after pertuzumab was already an extrapolation because in the Extenet trial, which was the post-adjuvant neratinib trial, patients hadn't received prior pertuzumab because of when the Extenet study was performed. So that was already an extrapolation. I think many people were comfortable with it in high-risk patients, just as you described, the high-risk ER-positive, node-positive patients, given that, you know, we really were trying to maximize benefit given their risk level. And now we have T-DM1, which is going to be used, you know, I would think, almost universally in such a high-risk patient who has residual cancer after neoadjuvant treatment. Then that would require a further extrapolation since we have no data on the effects of neratinib after T-DM1 or pertuzumab, and these patients will have had both. So I think we're, again, moving into this kind of data-free zone, which was we don't like to be, particularly in the adjuvant setting where we can't even tell whether our drugs are working for a given individual. But I do think that when you're confronted with a very high-risk patient, someone who has multiple nodes positive after residual cancer, and you know, if you look at that subset in Catherine, those patients still had a substantial risk of recurrence despite T-DM1, that in such a patient who's ER positive, I think it's still worth considering neratinib, but it's without definitive data that it's effective because of their prior therapy, and it's a relatively small population. But I don't think neratinib is completely out of the question for these high-risk patients, and I would still offer it to such a patient. But it's a pretty niche population at this point.
But you know, that ER thing is really interesting. And I guess if you think about it, they're also on hormonal therapy at the same time, really. So you think you're given neratinib, but you're actually given neratinib plus hormonal therapy. What about in the metastatic setting? Has that strategy been used?
Well, so no, I think you raise a good point, and that's been the hypothesized mechanism of action of neratinib in that setting is it helps block the crosstalk between ER and HER2, and that's why it's synergistic with hormonal therapy, particularly in ER positives where we didn't see any benefit in the ER negatives in Extenet. And in the metastatic setting, we don't have any data yet, as far as I know, of combining neratinib, if that's what you're asking, combining neratinib plus hormonal therapy. We actually have recently started an investigator-initiated trial looking at the combination of neratinib with or without fulvestrant to hopefully definitively ask that question to see whether we can replicate what's happening in the adjuvant setting, in the metastatic setting, where it's a little easier to follow. So we'll see whether we can see that kind of synergy. Interestingly, in the NALA trial, which was the metastatic neratinib trial that just got reported, virtually all the benefit was in the ER-negative HER2-positive cancers as opposed to the ER-positive. So exact opposite of what was seen in Extenet. Now, just to be clear, that was done in the absence of hormonal therapy, so perhaps that is why we see this big difference. And maybe that does say that you need a hormonal therapy around when you're using neratinib, but it's a little complicated with chemotherapy also in the mix. So I think this trial that I just mentioned, combining fulvestrant and neratinib, is a little bit of a cleaner way to ask that question.